Price of Fear. Brought to you by Vincent Price.
Hello. Let's call our story Meeting in Athens. So, how better to evoke the right atmosphere than with a little Greek music? It was August, and I was in Athens, in high summer with the blazing heat battering down on the city. Athens, this 5,000-year-old capital, the pride of that bygone ancient world whose wonders had gone to make up the glory that was Greece. I'd been in Yugoslavia on location working on a film, another of my excursions into the cinema's fantasy celluloid world, one more story of blood, horror, and the grotesque. But I'd thoroughly enjoyed myself playing in it. And when it was over, I decided to travel south, to spend a little more time in the city which had taken its name from Athena, the ancient Greek goddess of wisdom. That morning, like other tourists, I'd braved the heat to climb the height of the great limestone rock of the Acropolis, and I'd been strolling among what was left of the splendors of Greece's golden age. As I stood for a moment, looking over towards Mount Hymettus, I heard someone approaching.
Mark, I don't think we should.
He won't mind.
Excuse me, sir.
I turned to see a young man and a young woman, at a guess so in their mid-20s, and a very good-looking couple.
I hope you won't think we're intruding.
Even though we are, of course.
She was a tall, honey blonde, and although she was wearing one of the shortest mini-dresses I'd ever seen, there was an air of elegance about her.
You probably don't remember me.
There was something about him which seemed familiar. He had dark hair, broad shoulders, and a muscular build, shown to advantage by the denim shorts and open-necked shirt which he wore.
I'm Mark Haxton.
You know, at times like these, I always believe there's just one thing to do. Be honest and apologize for my bad memory. I'm sorry.
Oh, dear, we've embarrassed you. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no, there's no need to be. None at all.
Well, this is Gillian Gilroy.
I'm delighted, Miss Gilroy. I know for sure that you and I have never met before. I couldn't possibly have forgotten it if we had.
What a nice thing to say.
No, I'm just being honest, as I told you. Now, as for you, Mark, I know we have met, but where was it exactly?
In England, about 4 years ago.
In England, huh?
At Denwood Studios, when you were making that film, Theatre of Blood.
Yes, of course, I've got it now. You worked on the picture too, didn't you?
That's right. Yeah, well, that's one way of putting it.
Well, now, wait a minute. You were second assistant on it, isn't that so?
Yes. Or in other words, messenger boy and general dog's body, the lowest form of life. Oh, we all have to start somewhere, I suppose.
Yes, that's right. Well, it's nice to see you again. What are you doing with yourself these days? Are you still in the film business?
No, I'm working in television now as a floor manager.
Which I've heard called the second lowest form of life. So I imagine you could say it's a step up for him.
And that is spoken from a great height, you'll notice. The rarefied atmosphere only breathed by doctors' receptionists.
Sarcasm will get you nothing, except perhaps a clip over the ear.
I found them two very likable young people. They were in Athens on holiday, I learned. In fact, this was their last day. So I invited them to have a drink with me and took them back to my hotel, the Grand Britannia, on Constitution Square. Well, here's to your safe flight back to London tomorrow.
Thank you.
Cheers.
What time does your plane leave?
Oh, after lunch. Around three, isn't it, Mark?
Hang on and I'll check. I've got a note of it here in my diary. Yes. 3:15, to be exact.
You and your diary. I've never known anyone like him, Mr. Price.
Oh, please, Vincent.
Thank you. Do you know, he makes notes of absolutely everything. You should see what he's got in the front there. Name and address, car registration number, next of kin, his national insurance number, and Lord knows what else. Even his blood group.
It's just a safety precaution, that's all. Well, supposing I'm in an accident sometime and need a transfusion.
Yes, of course. That's very sensible of you, as a matter of fact. Let's hope it never happens, and especially not tomorrow.
Oh, don't say anything like that.
She's always a trifle nervous about flying. Oh, it's too bad, though, having to go back on Wednesday.
Why? Is Gillian nervous about Wednesdays as well?
No, nothing like that. It's only that next Sunday would be better. The point is that neither of us is actually due back at work until the Monday.
Oh, I follow.
Oh, 3 more days here would be great. There's so much to see, we've hardly scratched the surface.
Well, then why do you have to leave?
Needs must when the money runs out. Gillian's put us on a very tight budget.
Now you know what we agreed, darling.
Sure. Economy is the watchword, all in the interests of next spring.
And what happens next spring, if I'm allowed to ask?
Church bells and orange blossom, the full bit.
You're getting married. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, I finally got him round to it.
I have a suggestion to make. I think we might celebrate next spring a little in advance. With a bottle of champagne.
Champagne? Oh, that's a sweet thought, but we couldn't possibly.
No, of course not. We can't allow you
My
to.
My dear Mark, you can't stop me. I insist. Waiter! Waiter! The champagne was good, and their company was lively. And the next hour passed by most agreeably. All in all, a very pleasant chance encounter. When they got up to go, I expected that to be the last I'd see of either of them. But I was to be proved wrong. Later that afternoon, Gillian and Mark wandered into the National Gardens. They found themselves a bench by a small, secluded pool where the broad leaves of water lilies lay floating on the sun-speckled surface of the water.
Oh, this is the life. Champagne at midday and then just lazing in the sun.
Oh, lovely. It's so peaceful here.
You're right. Practically got the place to ourselves, except for that one chap on the next bench along.
And the pigeons. Listen to them. Do you notice? They've got their own accent.
Nothing of the sort. Pigeon talk is international.
No, it's not. Can't you hear the difference? These birds go caroo, caroo. The ones in London say kew, kew. They're pure Cockney.
You know something, you're a nut.
Ah, but no, mister. The young lady's completely correct.
The man from the nearby bench had leaned forward. He was clearly Greek, of middle age, inclined to stoutness, with a balding head, a round face, and a neat, clipped moustache. He rose and came towards them, fanning himself with his straw hat.
Forgive me, but I cannot help hearing what you say.
And you agree with me?
Certainly. These are Greek pigeons. Naturally, they speak their own language.
All right, I'll go quietly. Besides, it's too hot to argue.
Yes, very hot. You like the heat, eh? You are tourists.
That's right.
This is your first time in Athena, in Athens.
Yes.
You like our city?
Well, that's putting it mildly.
We're only sorry to be leaving.
Ah, you go so soon.
Mm. Tomorrow, more's the pity.
But perhaps there will be another time, eh? And you will come back.
Just give us half a chance.
I wonder if we could ask you for a little advice. We'd like to find somewhere to have dinner tonight. Nothing expensive. Just a genuine Athenian place, where there's real Greek dancing.
Yes, I understand. Let me think. Yes, I know of such a tavern.
Oh. Great.
I will make a proposal. I will take you there tonight to eat with me. You are my guests.
Oh, no, we couldn't hear of that. It's very nice of you, but...
But I do not give you the choice. Or else, I do not tell where it is, you see.
Oh, now, please.
Oh. The young people today, always so proud.
Please.
Very well. Then we are going, how do you put it, as the Dutch?
Okay, we go Dutch. That's a deal.
Excellent. Now we fix up where we will meet and the time.
The hospitable stranger arranged to pick them up in his car outside the gates of the gardens at 9 o'clock that evening. His name, he told them, was Yannis. That was his first name. The rest of it, he said, was very Greek, very long, and far too difficult for them to pronounce.
Hello,
marvellous, wasn't it, Mark?
Oh, it certainly was.
There's no doubt about the Greek men when it comes to dancing.
So you like this place, eh, Miss Gilroy?
Oh, yes, Yanis. We're terribly grateful to you.
And the meal? You enjoyed it?
Fabulous food. And I love your custom of going into the kitchen and making our own choice of what to eat.
Oh, yes, I'm all for that. I'll tell you what else I like. All the ornaments they've got around the place. Those little statues and carvings.
Well, they look terribly ancient, but I don't imagine they really are.
Oh, you are right. All of them are fakes. In this city, it is a flourishing industry. The fake and the illegal, the black market, you understand? For a price, anything can be obtained. Yes, whatever you wish, you can get it. Let us say a forged passport. Or counterfeit coins, mosaics, figures, statues, anything that you desire.
Good heavens.
I say we finished our wine. Let's have another bottle, shall we?
Look, I have a better idea. We will go to a party.
A party?
Yes, a friend of mine. He has a fine villa by the sea. Tonight he is giving a party. We will go.
Oh, I don't really think we can.
You will like it. Plenty of people, interesting people. Writers and doctors, students, actors, all kinds of people. With plenty of music, plenty of wine.
Ooh, sounds like fun.
But, Mark, it's getting quite late already. We're leaving tomorrow, don't forget. There's all that packing to do.
We'll have tons of time for that. And a party is the perfect way to round off the holiday. Now, you're not going to be a wet blanket, are you, Tilly?
No. No, of course I'm not. Yanis, we'd love to come.
Good. Very good.
Mark? Mark?
Here, Tilly.
Oh, there you are. I wondered where you'd got to.
I'm just circulating. Quite a party, isn't it?
Yes, but we
what
ought
about
to be
that
going.
Singer? Oh, she really is something. Not only that, but she can sing too.
Oh, it sounds as if I'm just in time.
What do you mean?
To drag you away.
No, there's no hurry.
Oh, darling, do you know the time? It's nearly 3 a.m. And I've got a headache, all that noise and cigarette smoke.
Poor old Jilly. Look, why don't you go back to the hotel, take a couple of tablets and get yourself to bed? I'll roll up later.
Mark.
And I won't be drunk, that's a promise.
But, darling, aren't you forgetting that tomorrow we have
don't
to pack and
get... Don't you worry about tomorrow. You know something? That stuff Yanis was telling us about in the taverna. Well, according to a couple of fellows I've been talking to in there, he was dead right.
Hmm?
In this celebrated cradle of civilization, there's a market for just about anything. Even something I could offer.
You?
Yes. You name it, they've got a market for it.
Well, what of it?
Just that I've got a notion that we can have those 3 extra days after all. I think we'll be able to stay till Sunday with no cheese pairing either.
What do you mean?
Ask no questions and you'll be told no lies.
You're not going to get mixed up in anything illegal.
I said no questions, Jilly.
Or could it be something to do with that girl? The singer? Nothing like love for sale, I
don't
just...
Don't you trouble your beautiful head about it. Now, come on. Let's find Yanis and organise some transport back to the city for you. There are bound to be people driving back in the next few minutes.
It was the following day, Wednesday, at some time after 12:30, that the phone rang in my room at the hotel. Hello?
Mr. Price?
Yes?
Vincent?
Yes, who's that?
It's Gillian. Gillian Gilroy.
Oh, hello, Gillian. How nice hearing from you.
I'm terribly sorry to ring you this way, but I just don't know what to do. Who to turn to?
Oh, my dear girl, what's the matter?
Oh, may I come up and see you? Please. I'm phoning from downstairs. I'm in the foyer.
But of course. Come straight on up. When I opened the door to her, I hardly recognized her as the self-composed young woman I had met only the day before.
Oh, please. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me bothering you like this.
Look, don't be silly, Gillian. Come along in and tell me what's wrong.
It's Mark. I'm nearly going out of my mind. I don't know where he is or what's happened to him. He's disappeared.
I sat her down and gave her a large brandy and listened while she told me the whole story from the beginning.
When I left the party, some woman gave me a lift and dropped me not far from our hotel. I took a couple of pills and fell into bed. And when I woke up, Mark wasn't there. There was no sign of him.
But, Gillian,
it was quite late, 10:30. And his bed hadn't been slept in.
Well, but if it was one of those all-night parties, perhaps he just stayed on.
If he'd done anything like that, he'd have phoned me, certainly by 10:30.
Did you check at your reception desk in case he left a message?
Well, of course, not a word. I stayed there in our room waiting, and then I realized that last night everything that happened was like a complete blank.
I don't understand.
Oh, can't you see? I don't know a thing about where we went or who any of the people were. The taverna, the villa, everyone who was at that party. I have no way of finding them.
But surely you were introduced to some of the other guests at the party.
Oh, some of them, yes, but only by their first names. Well, now do you understand what I mean?
Yes, I think I do.
Oh, I'm so frightened.
Now try to take it easy, Jillian.
Oh, I can't. It's been growing and growing on me. It's what made me come to you.
Well, I'm very glad that you did.
There's no one else I know here. I can't speak the language. What am I to do? I even thought of the British Consul. Perhaps.
Yes. But all they do, I think, is to get in touch with the local police. And we can take a shortcut there.
How?
Well, as it happens, there's a police officer in Athens whom I know rather well. I met him a year or so ago when I was making a film here. His name is Kostas Palidis. He speaks very good English. Yes, I think he's just the man we need. Kostas Palidis was younger than you'd expect a police officer to be. He was tall and lean, with dark, watchful eyes and a polite but cool manner. While Jillian went through the whole story again for him, he made notes with a gold pen in a small Moroccan leather notebook.
And that is all, Miss Gilroy?
Yes.
Thank you. You have given me a description of Mr. Haxton. Do you have, perhaps, a photograph?
No. Wait a minute. I've got his passport here.
Ah, very good. Thank you.
That doesn't really do him justice.
Passport photographs never do they? Kostas, what do you think this is all about?
It is too soon for thinking, my friend. Miss Gilroy, what was he wearing, please?
Oh, just a shirt and a pair of slacks. The trousers were sky blue, and it was a floral shirt, pink.
Very colourful. You have any other documents, papers, anything of his?
Well, there's his diary. I put it in my handbag along with his passport. Here you are.
Ah, thank you. Mr. Haxton had no old friends in Athens, to your knowledge?
No, none at all.
No, it was their first visit to Athens.
Ah, so?
What about that man they met, Yanis? Any chance of getting a line on him?
Try to answer that for yourself, my friend.
Oh, yes. Yes, I see what you mean. Just a first name.
And it is a very common one in Greece.
Yeah.
But we will make our inquiries. We will give out a description and check with all the hospitals.
Hospitals? Oh, God.
It is routine, Miss Gilroy. I understand you've cancelled your flight, so where will you be that I can contact you? At the same hotel?
No, she'll be here with me.
Oh, no, really, I couldn't ask you.
Of course you can, Jillian. And we'll keep in touch with your hotel in case Mark shows up.
Very good. Then I will go now.
Well, I'll see you out.
Goodbye, and thank you.
Kostas, what's your opinion?
Of what?
Well, that business about the boy having found some way for them to stay here a bit longer. The black market.
This is a big city, my friend, like any other. It contains bad people, like any other. Cheats and tricksters and criminals.
Yes, of course.
It also contains many young women, often very beautiful, and he is a young man.
The singer at the party, you think?
Who knows?
But he talked about having something that, well, something that he could offer.
Just so.
Oh, no. He didn't give me that kind of impression.
Perhaps not. But we of the police, my friend, we live in a strange world, and in it, people are the most strange things of all. I have seen much that is extraordinary. Much that you would not believe if I told it to you.
The time dragged by, each hour stretching out till it seemed like a day. With no news of Mark and no word from Kostas, I could see the fear and tension mounting in Jillian at every passing moment. Suddenly she announced she wanted to go to the National Gardens. I went with her.
It was here, by the pool. We were sitting on that bench.
So that's why we were here. You were hoping to find that man, Yanis.
I thought maybe... No, I don't know what I thought.
Well, it was worth trying, and at least it's pleasant here in the sun.
Oh, no, it's cold. It's so cold.
Oh, Jillian.
That's the most awful thing of all. Stand here in the bright sunlight and know all the time that something horrible has happened to him.
But you can't know that, not for sure.
But I do. I know it. I can feel it. You don't understand. It's not just that Mark and I were going to be married. It's more than that.
In what way exactly?
For the last 2 years we've been living together. We've been so close. Closer than anyone could imagine. That's why I know, you see. Take my hand. Feel it.
It's like ice. You poor child.
Do you believe me now?
Come on. I'm going to get you back to the hotel.
It doesn't matter. Nothing matters anymore. Whatever's happened is something terrible. Something I can't even put a name to, but...
It was close to midnight that the telephone call came from Kostas Pelidis. A body had been taken out of Piraeus Harbor an hour before. It fitted the description of Mark Haxton. I offered to go alone to make the identification, but Jillian insisted upon coming with me. The small room at the mortuary was tiled in white. A hard white light shone down on a rubber-wheeled trolley covered with a white sheet. Costa stood beside it, a corner of the sheet held in one hand.
You are ready, Miss Gilroy?
Yes.
Well?
Yes. It's Mark.
His eyes were closed. His dark hair made an incredible contrast to the rest of him. For the motionless body was pale, not just with the pallor of death, but a chill, terrifying whiteness, which echoed the white of the tiles and the light and the sheet.
He looks like a waxwork.
Perhaps you had better go now, Miss Gilroy.
No, not yet.
Costas, what in heaven's name has been done to him?
Look at the forearms, my friend. You see? The punctures?
Yes. Needle marks, is that what you mean?
Just so. On the bend in the inside of each arm. It is the usual place.
For junkies, drug addicts? Is that what you're saying?
No, my friend. For blood donors.
Oh, my God. But normally it's just a pint or so, isn't it? With him, it...
Yes, yes. With him, they must have drawn 4.5 liters. That would be 8 pints. Every drop that it was possible for them to take.
In other words, they drained him.
Yes. I have seen many dreadful things. But never anything so horrible as this.
But why? For what reason?
Look in his diary.
Oh, Jean. Oh, my dear, forgive me. For a moment I...
You forgot I was here.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. I told you that. The reason is in his diary. His blood group. Isn't that it, Mr. Pelidis?
Yes, it is a very unusual group. AB rhesus negative, very rare. From a special clan with the same group whose life could be saved by...
It would fetch big money.
Very big money, my friend. And this city, like any other, contains those who need such money. To buy drugs, to satisfy their craving.
And that is what he had to offer.
They must have told him that it would be only a pint. Perhaps 2 at the most. But you see...
All he wanted was another 3 days here. Just 3 more days, and it cost him his life's blood. Oh, Mark. Mark. Mark.
I took Gillian Gilroy back with me to the Grande Bretagne. She was given a room and put to bed with a sedative. In my own room, I found an urgent cable waiting for me from my agent, asking for an immediate reply. I was offered the title role in a new film to be called The Blood Master. I threw the cable into a drawer. Just then, I'd had more than enough of the subject of blood.
That was Vincent Price, bringing you The Price of Fear, with Kate Coleridge, Steve Plytus, Michael Deacon, and Robin Brown. Meeting in Athens was first recounted by Charles Birkin, who called it so cold, so pale, so fair. The story was dramatized by Maurice Travers, and produced by John Dias.